Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is the testing of Abraham. It's chapter 22 in the book of Genesis. Why all this testing? God told Abraham to kill his firstborn, and then he stopped him. God didn't stop himself. So this is a text on faith. The kind of trust Jesus, giving himself over to death in the Father, knew that the Father could raise him from the dead. And so our text tells us in the letter to the Hebrews, you see, realizing that God could raise from the dead, Abraham obeyed. So the text goes like this now. The first line, and after these things, Hadabarim Ha'ele, God tested Abraham. Now that line is to tell us that it's a test. Because right after that, the text says, Vayomer Elai, and he said to him, and he said, Hineni. Now we're going to get an example. See Christ. Hineni means, behold me. I am at your disposition. One of the great Jewish commentators, Rashi, says about that, Hineni, it is the sign of a righteous man that he agrees to what God wants even before he knows what it is. All God has said so far is Abraham. And he says, Hineni, I'm here, whatever you want. And then God said, take your son, Isaac, your only son, you see, et Yachidka, your Yachid, Ben Yachid, which you love, whom you love, you see, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you. What is going on here? What depth of trust? Now, the letter to the Hebrews points out very significantly, that Abraham reasoned that God could raise from the dead if he was going to keep his promise. In other words, that letter to the Hebrews, which is already growing from a Jewish tradition, Abraham said, well, I will obey you because you are my God and I trust you with everything. I left my family, my clan, my nation, my language, to go out and be a nomad of faith on your word. And even though I was childless, you promised me a son. I believed you. And that is made my relationship to you righteous. It was correct. That's why Paul uses that belief of Abraham as, you know, it was credited to him, lesudaka, it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, it's good to keep Paul's thinking on this text in mind and the letter to the Hebrews as we listen on Holy Saturday night. Offer him up as an ola, as a sacrifice, a holocaust, on a height that I will point out to you. And then the text says, early the next morning, he didn't waste any time, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two of his servants as well, and with the wood that he had cut for the holocaust, set out for the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham caught sight of the place from afar. Then he said to his servants, both of you stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over yonder. We will worship and then come back to you. Now, on one level, he might just be saying that to put the servants off. But Origen and many of the other fathers said to him, he doesn't know how Isaac's going to come back with him, but he's going to go through with this. and so on. Then Abraham took the wood for the holocaust and laid it on his son Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. The rabbis already said, not knowing about Jesus and his cross, this is like the crucified man had carrying his own wood, his own crossbeam to the cross, you see. As the two walked on, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham. "Father," Isaac said. "Yes, son," he replied. Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the holocaust?" "Son," Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the sheep for the holocaust." And then the two continued going forward in silence. Can you grasp why this man is our father in faith, as Paul distinctly calls him in Romans? He's losing everything. All that God had ever promised him is walking beside him. And God has commanded him to offer that one up as a holocaust. You see, the marvelous thing is, Abraham didn't offer his son, but God did. God went through with it. And so, they two went on, just walked in silence. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and ranged the wood on it. Next he tied up his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood on the altar. Now there's an old tradition, both rabbinic and Islamic, that Isaac was not just a young boy. He was a man. And he's understanding now that his father is going to offer him as the sacrifice. And he says, "Father, do not stay your hand. What a privilege to know that I can give my life to God this way." That's a deep insight, isn't it? And so, he tied his son, put him on top of the wood on the altar. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger, the Lord's angel, called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And for the second time, he says, "Hineni, I'm here at your disposition. Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." And God didn't either. You see, this is giving us an example of love. God did not spare his own son, Paul says. He offered him up for us all. And then, as Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took him and offered him up. And Abraham named the site Adonai Yireh. Hence people say nowadays, "On the mountain the Lord will see." If you go to the mountain that God tells you to go, God will take care of the rest. Climb that mountain. Obey God, and God will do the rest. How do I know? Who do I receive in communion every Sunday? The risen, resurrected body of the very Son of God. For what God stopped Abraham from doing, he did. His only begotten Son. And so, and then the future of Abraham is conferred upon him. Again, the Lord's messengers called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did, in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies, and by your offspring all the nations of the world gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." Look at this power. And this is a figure of God, you see. It tells us in Sirach, for instance, Abraham was the great father of a multitude of nations, and no one has been found like him in glory. He kept the law of the Most High and entered into a covenant with him. He certified the covenant in the flesh, and when he was tested, he proved faithful. Therefore, God assured him with an oath that the nations would be blessed through his offspring. Are they? Isn't Jesus the offspring of Abraham? Think of this man's faith, and let's compare it to our own. Anything that we treasure, we're liable to clutch to, but it's not God. Can we let go of everything for God? If we start to give our life to God, God will take us on a journey well outlined for us by St. John of the Cross. Huh? You give up everything so that the very heart of that moment of darkness is an act of hope. I have nothing. I have nothing. I can't keep myself alive. I can't keep myself alive for eternity. I have nothing. I have to totally trust you. That's the crux. The crux. That's the moment. When we can imitate God, who gave his only begotten son, knowing he was going to raise him, but, you know, gave up his son so that we could have life. And that's why the church takes this text. But we celebrate it when? Not Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Life. Life. We live by the life of the Son of God, you see? And so, for instance, there in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had told him it will be through Isaac that you'll have your posterity. This is a call, my friends, at this Easter vigil to do what? To imitate Abraham. Let go. Let go. Let go of your control on your own life. Give it over to God. Let go. Trust God. So that when the moment comes when you really do die, you can say what the Lord said. Into your hands I commend my life, my spirit. I have the guarantee that I will rise again because I have been baptized into Christ and he is alive. He is not dead. And I have been made, as many have been baptized, have put on Christ. Huh? Or, in Romans 6, don't you realize that you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death, into that total act of surrender that Christ made, we're grafted onto that. And our life is meant to be the living out of that grafting. So that God can look down. I think I told you this already, but God called the angels and said, look at this man. He's willing to give up his son for me. And all the angels were in awe. When we're dying, God could call all the angels, watch this one die. He's giving up his whole life for me. He trusts me that I will take care of him for eternity. That's why we have this text on the sacrifice of Abraham on this day, on this evening, when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ.